Today she is Masechta Chum, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, Amar Aleph, the top line. El Amar Rabbi Yosef. Our Gemara, at the end of the previous shiur, began focusing on the words of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said, L'Oilam Shaychtim, and the Gemara wanted to try to understand what is the Mishnah teaching us with those words. The Gemara attempted to say it's following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, the only way they were able to eat meat was if they brought the animal as a carbon. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat meat, basataiva, not even as a carbon. The question, and the Mishnah is teaching us, that rule remains even after they're in Golos. The Gemara had a problem with that approach, because the Gemara said that if so, if anything, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, certainly that halacha should continue applying, because they have no way to bring a carbon. And because of that question, our Gemara attempts a different approach. It says Rabbi Yosef, the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva disputes, as we'll see, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Ki yarchik mcha mok mashivcha Hashem elakecha, Losum Shmoy Sham. If you don't live near the Beis HaMikdash, teaches us the Torah. So you could shecht meat to eat, says Rabbi Kiva. By Ba'a Kosef, Lo'as Lambos Nechira. What is the Torah teaching us? That once we arrive in Eretz Yisrael, we can no longer eat animal meat that was just killed. For says Rabbi Kiva, Shebetchilu Hotel Lambos Nechira. Prior to their arriving in Eretz Yisrael, they could eat any meat that was just killed. Once they arrived at Eretz Yisrael, Neslam Bas Nechira, they can't eat meat that's just killed. Va'achshav Shigolu, now that they are in Golis, we would think that perhaps Yochel Yachsu L'Teirin Harishon, that they should go back and again be allowed to eat meat even without Shechita. That's what our Mishnah teaches us, that once the rule of Shechita started, when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, that rule remains forever, and L'Olam Shechtim, you can never eat meat unless it's properly Shechtim. What does Nechira mean? Machlokes Rishonim. Some say Nechira means that till we came to Eretz Yisrael, you could kill an animal in any way you want, and that meat becomes mutter. Others say that Nechira means that it has to be with the simanim. It has to be with the conurbation. But as we've learned, that we're going to learn, there's not just enough that you should just kill the animal by the conurbation. You have to slaughter it in the prescribed manner. Nechira means that you could kill it in any, you could rip out the marshal, the simanim, and that would be fine. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even according to Bekiva, that animals in the Midbar could just be killed with Nechira and they would be allowed to eat, be eaten, doesn't mean that you could eat animal that's a treifa. The halacha of treifa was in place in the Midbar as well. Furthermore, the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara is saying that we would think that once they no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, once we're in Golos, we could start eating meat again without Shechita. So they ask why. Why would we think so? I saw two very nice terutzim. The Torah says, we just read the pasuk, what do you call it? The Torah, when it speaks about eating meat, uses the word kiyarchiv. When does a person have the ability to eat meat? When he has a chavas adas. When he's able to baruch Hashem when things are going well. So we would think, yes, Klal Yisrael was an Eretz Yisrael, then there was a halacha that you could only eat meat with shechita because they would eat meat just because they wanted to have a good dinner. But now that we're in Golos, so in Golos we just don't eat meat. When do you eat meat? Eat meat, Shabbos, Yontif, Sudas Mitzvah. So since these are Sudas Mitzvah anyway, maybe you're allowed to eat the meat without shechita. Teaches us the Torah that the halacha shechita remains. Another pshat that I saw, that the Mefarshim suggests, also a nice pshat, that maybe only while we're in Eretz Yisrael, so we're on a higher level. So that's when the Torah tells us only eat meat with shechita. But when we're in Golus, so we're not on that high level, so the Torah is going to be more lenient and not require the shechita. That's what the Torah teaches us, that once the Hilcha Shechita began, they remain forever. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What happened in the Midbar? According to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar they ate any meat, they just could kill the animal. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he's the other extreme. In the Midbar they only ate meat that was kabanis. The Maikamifli, Rabbi Akiva Sava, Basa Taiva, Litsa Klau. There was no reason not to eat regular meat. That isn't what happened. Kiva Rishmal Sover Basa Nechira LaYishvi Klau. According to Rishmal, there was never a time in our history that we could eat meat without slaughter. The only thing is, he says, that in the Midbar it required Shechita. And in the, it required to be a carbon. Afterwards, it doesn't have to be a carbon. Tysus asks, who says that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing? The whole Gemara we're about to learn is based on assuming that there's an argument. Maybe they could agree. Rabbi Akiva says you could eat meat, and if you're going to eat kachim, it has to be slaughtered. If you're going to eat meat, it has to be slaughtered as carbon. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't allow bas nechira, but who says that they're arguing? So Tysus says, and the Rambam actually says, it isn't necessary to say that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel must be arguing. They can maybe be agreeing with each other. Taisu says, if we're going to say Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel, then you can never end up eating basa nechira, because you have to eat all the meat as karbonis. So what does it mean that you ate basa nechira? Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that we could understand, Hanediksiv, that the Torah teaches us in the Midbar, the Shacharis ben Abakar. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the only way you could eat meat in the Midbar is if you brought the animal to the Mishkan and slaughtered it as a carbon. Ask the Gemara, El Rabbi Akiva, Mai v'Shachat. What does it tell you the word Shachat? According to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to do Shechit in the Midbar. You could just kill the animal. Answers the Gemara, Kachim Shani. Which means, even Rabbi Akiva, who holds that in the Midbar you could eat meat without slaughtering it, that's not if you bring it as a carbon. If you bring it as a carbon, he'll agree you have to kill it with shechita. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, Hanediksiv, Hatsayin Habaka Yishachat Lehem. We remember we mentioned it briefly at the end of yesterday's shir, that there was a parasha in Parashas Ba'aloyscha where Klai Yisrael were complaining that they didn't have meat. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, is there enough meat to feed such a huge population? And he says, Hatsayin Habaka Yishachat Lehem, can we slaughter so many animals? El Rabbi Akiva, Mayat Tzayin Habaka Yishachat Lehem, they didn't have to be slaughtered. Was saying that in the Midbar they ate meat that was nechira, that was just killed. The Torah should use the word yinocher. Answers the Gemara, in the Midbar, where shechita wasn't required, nechira lehem zu shechitasan. That is what the Torah means when it says yishach lehem. It doesn't mean shechita in the way we understand shechita, a proper slaughter. Rather, shechita means killing the animal, because that's all required. That's all that's required. We know there's a halacha, we're going to discuss it later in the Masechta, that pehei, of kisui hadam. The halacha is that if you shech the chay or oif, you have to do kisui hadam, you have to cover the blood. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, hainu d'tnan, we could understand the Mishnah that we're going to learn later in the Masechta, that says, ha-shoichev n'snabla b'yodai, if somebody shechs an animal and becomes an avela, or ha-noicher, he pierces the simonim, from Akar, he just rips out the simonim, pata malachasis. Why? Because the animal wasn't properly slaughtered. However, asked the Gemara, El Rabbi Akiva, am I pata malachasis? Why is the halacha that you don't have to do kisui adam? According to Rabbi Akiva, nechira is a legitimate way of killing an animal. So if it's a legitimate way of killing an animal, you should have to do kisui adam after you kill the animal that way. Answers the Gemara, however it's vitzer. The Mishnah is speaking about a time when the Nechira is no longer allowed. And a time when the Nechira is no longer allowed, so killing an animal in the Nechira, even Rabbi Akiva will agree, is not an acceptable way of killing the animal. Now, so these were questions on Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara goes the other way. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva to Omer, Basa Tavala Yitzaklal. According to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar they could eat any meat. Hanedik Siv, Ach kashiyoichlas atzviva yael techlenum. Which means as follows. We need to review some of the points we've made in our share today. Rabbi Kiva said that in the Midbar, they could eat animals just with nechira. That means there are certain animals, chayis, tzvivayol, a deer and a ram, that since they're chayis, they can never be brought as a carbon. Since they can never be brought as a carbon, you could kill them. There's no time for shechita. Tzayinu bakar, which can be brought as a carbon. So according to Rabbi Kiva, if you bring them as a carbon, you have to slaughter them. If you bring them not as a carbon, but you could just kill them. The Torah says when we arrive to Eretz Yisrael, all animals are the same. Tzivayol have to be killed with shechita, and all other animals are killed with shechita. So this pasuk is very understandable. However, ask the Gemara, El Rishmol, Tzivayol gufim yavishari. In the Midbar, they were never allowed to eat tzivayol. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shmuel was saying, the only way you could eat meat in the Midbar is if you bring it as a carbon. And if we just said a moment ago, you can't bring a tzivayol as a carbon, they could never eat tzivayol in the Midbar. So what's the Torah saying? Like you ate the tzivayol, that's like you'll eat all the other carbonas, all the other meat. You didn't eat tzivayol. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no way to eat tzivayol in the Midbar. Answers the Gemara, Kich os rachmana. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that according to Rabbi Shmuel in the Midbar, we were only allowed to eat carbon meat. When did Rabbi Shmuel say that? Behema, the chazila akrova. Behemoth that could be brought as a mizbeach teaches us Rabbi Shmuel that in the Midbar, we could only eat behema meat, which shechita as a carbon. Aval chaya, even Rabbi Shmuel will agree that in the Midbar, that we couldn't bring a chaya as a carbon. Deloy chazila akrova, that's rachmana. There Rabbi Shmuel won't say that you have to use it as a carbon, because you can't use it as a carbon. So now, we've severely changed Rabbi Shmuel's pshat. Till now we learned that the only meat they ate in the Midbar was carbon meat. Now we're saying it's only carbon meat from an animal that can be brought as a carbon. But if it couldn't be brought as a carbon, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree you don't have to use it as carbon meat. And then I sort of was trying to make a very interesting point all along the same line and understanding Rabbi Shmuel. We know, the Gemara says this from Sechta Pesach and other places, that most Jews in the Midbar didn't have a bris milah. And the halacha is that a Jew who doesn't have a bris milah is not allowed to eat carbon meat. Say to Rishonim, Rabbi Shmuel will agree that those Jews were able to eat meat that wasn't carbon meat. Because when the Torah says that in the Midbar we should only eat carbon meat according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's only for the Jew who could eat carbon meat. But if the Jew can't eat carbon meat, for example, because he doesn't have a bris milah, even Rabbi Shmuel will agree it's like tzvi vayol, he could eat the meat not as a carbon. Another beautiful vart that I saw from the Ostrovtzer says a very interesting pshat. He says, we find that Yitzchak, we know, told Esav to bring him meat, shecht for him, so he could give him a bracha. Esav was told to bring a chaya. Yaakov, who Rivka told him to disguise himself, brought a gedi. Why? As he says, Yitzchak was concerned that Esav isn't going to slaughter the meat properly. Isn't going to bring the carbon properly. And in the Midbar, he held like Rabbi Shmuel. You could only eat carbon meat. So how do you avoid the problem? He told him, don't bring a behema. Bring a chaya. And we just finished learning that even Rabbi Shmuel agrees the chaya is in the Midbar, before Matan Torah, don't have to have a carbon. But Rivka knew that Yaakov bought the Bechaira. And Yaakov was going to do the Shechita properly. So he told him, bring a Gedi, which is a Behema. But I know that you're a Bechor, and I know that you're going to bring the carbon properly, and therefore you can bring your father Gedi meat. Bar Rav Yamir, interesting question. Every bas in Chira, Shechnisi Yisrael Imam Aretz Mahu. He asks a fascinating question. In the Midbar, according to Rabbi Kiva, as we began today's shir, they were allowed to eat meat that's just killed. So what's the halacha if you have leftover meat that you just killed? And once they're arriving at the straw, Rabbi Kiva says you could only eat meat that was geschachten. Could you eat the leftovers of your nechira meat? So Rashi asked the obvious question. Why is the Gemara asking this question? Well, was. So Rashi says, it's roish v'kabel schar. The reason the Gemara is asking this question is just to understand what happened. The Rosh disagrees with Rashi. Because the Rosh says that even though we have in the Torah this concept of Derosh V'Kabel Schar, where do we have this concept? We have this concept, says the Rosh, where even if it's not relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, for practical halacha, it's relevant to understand Pesukim. Here there's no Pesukim that the Gemara is trying to understand. So the Rosh says, why is the Gemara asking this question? So the Rosh says, I'll tell you why the Gemara is asking the question. Let's say somebody makes a nether. He makes a vow that from a certain day, he's going on a diet, and he wants to really make sure he's going to follow his diet. So he says, from this day on, my diet, let's say, is not to eat meat, I'm not eating meat. And he has leftover meat from before he started the diet. Could he eat the leftovers? It'll depend on this Gemara. The Mefarshim disagree. First of all, let's see why Rashi doesn't agree with the Rosh. So Mefarshim say Rashi doesn't agree with the Rosh's approach because Rashi said you can't compare the two cases. When I make a nether, I made it usur. It isn't usur. It's only because I don't want to eat meat. Here, it's not my making. It's the Torah saying that once you come to Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat meat unless it's properly slaughtered. So that's why Rashi doesn't agree with the Rosh. Furthermore, what is the halacha? Because the Gemara doesn't answer this question. Again, it's not very relevant, la halacha l'maisa. So Paiskim say that if the person was clear in what he meant, leftovers I could eat, so we have a rule that by Nedarim, we could follow what your intention was. If it isn't obvious, so if it's a Neder D'Oraisa, we have to be Machmer. If it's a Neder D'Rabbanan, we could be more lenient. But now, the Paiskim say, they come up with a very interesting thing that's very applicable. Let's say you have meat left over from before the 9 days, and now the 9 days comes. Are you allowed to use up your leftover meat? Or, let's say you cook meat for Shabbos, even Shabbos Chazoyim during the 9 days, you're allowed to eat meat. And are you allowed to eat up the leftover meat, Matzoi Shabbos, from Av Malka? Especially in our world, it's not as much of a question, because we have freezers. But in their world, they didn't have freezers, so if the meat wasn't eaten up, it would go to waste. Are you allowed to eat up that meat? There are paiskim that are lenient and say you could eat the leftovers. They say, of course, however, you can't specially cook extra meat that you should have leftovers so you could eat during the 9 days. Most paiskim, however, are machmer. And again, there's a very big difference between this Gemara and that case. Why? Because meat that wasn't slaughtered, the meat that was in the Midbar, and the meat that was in Eretz Yisrael, there's a problem with the meat itself. This meat now is not kosher meat. The meat that you have left over from before the 9 days, there's nothing wrong with the kashrus of the meat. It's the time. So it's the time that causes the issue. Rav Moshe is very machmer. Rav Moshe says you can't use leftover meat from Shabbos Chazoyim. He says so far is he machmer that even if you have somebody who always eats a flesh of gemlav malka, and he has leftover meat from Shabbos Chazoyim, he shouldn't eat a flesh of gemlav malka on Motzei Shabbos Chazoyim. There are achroinim that want to say that, how do we understand this Gemara's question? They try to say it a little more for Lom D'Shuei. They say that the question of Gemara is, why is it also to eat not properly slaughtered meat? Is it Issa Heftza? We spoke about it at the beginning of the Masechta. Is it Issa Heftza or Issa Gavra? Is it that there's something inherently wrong with the meat? Or is it that I'm not allowed to eat the meat? If it's Issa Heftza, so there's nothing wrong with this Heftza. Because in the Midbar, you didn't have to Shecht. If it's an Issa Gavra, that once I come into the Eretz Yisrael, I may not eat meat that wasn't properly slaughtered. So now that I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I can't eat this meat. So says the Gemara again, Avery Basar. The Mefarshim asks, why are we talking about the Avery Basar? What does the Mishnah speak about the limbs? So I saw two pshatim to answer that question. One is, because what's part of it bothering the Gemara, the question of the Gemara? The Gemara finds it hard to say that you'll have one animal, half of the animal was kosher, and half of this very same animal is treif, the leftover, the other part. That's why the Gemara is asking the question. Another pshat, very much in line with what I said before, is that of course everybody would agree that Klal Yisrael knows we're going into Eretz Yisrael. And once we're going to Eretz Yisrael, we could only eat slaughtered meat. So before they go, they'll quickly they'll kill a lot of animals that they should have leftovers. That's certainly not acceptable. The Avrim, it's only leftovers that you didn't know you would have. That's the Gemara's question. Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand this. Amos, when did you want to eat this meat? Ilema b'shev shekafshu, the first 7 years that Klai Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, capturing Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, fascinating thing. Hash to Dovah Tamish Terulahu. During those 7 years, they were allowed to eat non-kosher meat. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says regarding those years, who bought the Malayim called Tuf, Vam Rab Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amarav, Katli the Chaziri. During those years, they were allowed to eat pork. Katli the Chaziri either means pork or means bacon. Basan the Chira, certainly you're allowed to eat. So the Mefarshim, of course, discuss at great length what's this that they were allowed to eat Chazer during those 7 years. Big Machloikis Rambam in Ramban. How to understand this Gemara? The Rambam, as explained by the Ritvaz, understands this Gemara that because they're soldiers at war, and of course, if it's a question of Pikuach Nefesh that they have nothing to eat, we don't need to have a special heter. Just the Torah is concerned for the welfare of the soldiers, and they're concerned that when he's at war and if he wants to eat something, we shouldn't hold it back from him. The Torah says he could eat pork during those 7 years. According to this understanding, it isn't limited to those 7 years of battle. It's a rule whenever Klal Yisrael is at war, because we're concerned about the welfare of the children, of the soldiers, according to the Rambam, they could eat non-kosher food. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says it's a special rule that while you're capturing Eretz Yisrael, Malayim Kol Tov, you could eat anything that you find as you're capturing. So it's only then in capturing Eretz Yisrael. The Mechas Chinuch, in trying to understand the opinion of the Ramban, wants to know, is it only during those first 7 years when they were under the leadership of Yeshua capturing Eretz Yisrael, or is it at any time that they captured Eretz Yisrael that the same rule would apply? Furthermore, the Mechas Chinuch says that even though the Torah is being so lenient during those 7 years, anything that a ben noyach, that a guy can't eat, we can't eat then either. We can never be less than a ben noyach. Interesting question. It seems from the Gemaras that we learned in Masechta Menachos that the Isser Chadosh began immediately. So why is Chadosh stricter than Chazer? So some Rishonim say that Chadosh didn't apply to the soldiers either. Others say you can't compare Chadosh to Chazer. Why? Because Chazer, a Jew's never allowed to eat pork. So the Torah is being lenient for these soldiers during these years. But Chadosh, there's a way you could eat Chadosh, the heter. Wait till after Pesach. And that's why Chadosh is stricter than Chazer. But there's a fascinating morale on this Gemara. He says, what is the lesson of this Gemara? He says, people try to attribute all sorts of reasons to the halachas of kashrus. That kosher food is healthier. Kosher food is healthier on a physical level. Kosher food is healthier on a ruchnistika level. Says the Mara, you know what the Gemara here is teaching us? It has nothing to do with what we think. Because if Chazer was really unhealthy, if that's what the Torah meant, so then how could you eat it during those 7 years? The way we're supposed to look at what the Torah says, the morale says based on the Gemara here, is what the Torah says is osur. What the Torah says is mutter. So normally, of course, Chazer is osur. During those 7 years, it's mutter. And it's not for us to understand why. It's timtum alev when it's osur. It's timtum alev when it's osur. Ella lachmikan. So it must be the question is, after those 7 years, the question is regarding those 7 years. What did the Torah say you could eat during those 7 years? Shalal shalav de kachavim. The two. Shalash of the kachavim. When you take from the goyim, you can eat anything even if it's not kosher. But here we're not talking about the goyim's products. We're talking about ours. The du loy ishtru. So what is the halacha? The Gemara remains with a teiku. Amar Rava. So now Rava takes stock in the Mishnah. Shanisa, we've explained what the Mishnah said, Hakol Shochtem. We explained what the Mishnah says, La'olim Shochtem. But then the Mishnah continues saying, Kol Shochtem. My Mishanisle, why will we say the Mishnah is trying to teach us with those words? V'chi Taimer will say that the Mishnah is trying to teach us with those words, that Bein B'Schuchas, Bein B'Tzor, Bein B'Schuchas, Bein B'Krumish Al-Kana, you can use all of these materials to Shecht. And halach, and as the Mefarshim say, because we would learn that you don't have to use a keli, you could use anything to do shechita. Says the Gemara, it doesn't work. Because dumi the hanakhtani. According to this, let's understand what the Mishnah is teaching us. The hakos shechtim is talking about what is slaughtered, even birds. Loyalim shechtim is talking about the meat. And here we're talking about what we shecht. It doesn't go together. E hanakh b'shechtim, haninamin b'shechtim. It has to be consistent, the Mishnah. Either the subject is about who's doing the shechita, or the subject is about how the shechita is done. How could there be a little of each? El Amar Rava, because of this question, Rava has a reinterpretation of the Mishnah. Hak l'shatim, chad l'suyi kutim, v'chad l'suyi yisramuma. The first Mishnah says, hak l'shatim, to teach us, that, as we learned, that you could eat the shechita of a kuti on the under certain circumstances, as we learned in Daf Gimel, v'chad l'Yisrael mumer, that you could eat the shechit of Yisrael mumer if you check his knife. Lo'olam shaychtim comes to teach us a din that we've learned also, that you could check bein b'yoyim, bein b'layla, bein b'rosh agag, bein b'rosh asrina, on the roof, on a boat, even though we're going to learn that you can't check directly into water, because they would collect this for avodah zarah. B'kol shaychtim has come to teach us bein b'tzor, bein b'zchuchas, we learned in the Mishnah, chutz v'magel kotzer. Magel kotzer we learned is a sickle that one side is smooth and the other side is serrated. V'amagera is something that's completely serrated. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara begins now the sugya of how we check the knife. Says the Gemara, v'udu shmu pogim v'shadar, pada shadar. He kept on making pegimus in the knife, so the Rabbanim should teach him what is considered a pegima and what is not considered a pegima. Sholchalei, and they told him, we'll give you the rule. K'megei rishoninu. Anything that's serrated is not kosher for shechita. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Sakin sheyesh b'pegimas harbe. A sakin that has many pegimas. In other words, even if it's a smooth sakin, but it has all of these nicks. Tidin k'megeira. Machloikus rishoninu. What is the definition of pegimas harbe? Some Rishonim say two, and some Rishonim say three. V'shein ba'el begima achas. What's going to be the halacha if you have a knife that has only one pegima? Says the Braisa. A geres psula mesuchseches ksheira. So the Gemara right away asks, heichidami a geres, heichidami mesuchseches. What is considered a geres that was saying even one is possible, and what is considered mesuchseches? Amr Abelazar, a geres mishtei ruchas. If you have a hole that looks like an upside down V, so it goes with two sides nicked, that's a geres. Mesuchseches is where the nick is only from one side, but the other side remains smooth. So it's only one slant. Why is there a difference between a geres and mesuchseches? Maishta mishtei ruchas. Why is there a bigger problem when it looks like a V? Answers the Gemara. The Mursha Kama Machlish. Because when you take the knife and start using it to slit the neck of the animal, the first nick starts weakening the simonim. Or Mursha Basra Bazra. And the second one rips it instead of slits it. And we know that Shechit has to be a slit, not a rip. So the Machlokes Rishonim had to learn this Gemara. Rashi says, the way to understand the Gemara, it's a fairly practical issue. The fairly practical issue here is that you're going to have two nicks, and like the Gemara explained, when you have two nicks, you have a real probability to have an ikur rather than a slit. Others explain that, you know, the proper way of doing shechita is halacha vahiva, going back and forth. But as we've already mentioned in our shiurim, if you have a long knife, you don't have to do a halacha vayva. So if you're going to have two nicks, so both nicks are, even if you're not doing halacha vayva, both nicks are going to hit the neck of the animal, even if you're only going in one motion. But if you only have one nick, and you're careful to do all of your shechita in one motion, it's only one nick touching the simonim, not the second one. And the Gemara is teaching us that one nick doesn't do an ikur. You need at least two nicks to do the ikur. So if you're doing it with a knife that has two nicks, even if you're just doing halacha, and you're not doing halacha vayva, both of them are going to hit the neck. Both of them are going to hit the simonim. If you're doing it with one, and you're only doing halacha, you won't have the simonim having been hit with two nicks. Ask the Gemara. But even if you do it with one nick, meruach achas nami, even if it only has a suchsachas, why not be concerned that chorfa the sakina machlish? You start cutting with the sharpness of the knife, that weakens the simonim, and then when you hit the mersha, even though it's only one nick, dazi, it rips him instead of slits them. Answers the Gemara, the koimeresh of the sakina. This nick is at the head of the knife, and since the nick is at the front of the knife, you never get there. Ask the Gemara, but even if it's at the head of the knife, why are we not concerned? Saifsar ki ozlo machlasha, when you go in one direction, it weakens it, and ki also when you come back, baza, it rips it out. And says the Gemara, like I said before, kagan shahalach v'lai hevi, it's a long knife, where you don't have to do halacha v'ayva, you just do halacha. So the Gemara summarizes the halachas. Amar Rava, gimel midas pesakin. There are three rules. Egeris, if it has a nick that looks like an upside down V, la yishchet. You should not use it. From shachat, and if you use such a knife, shchitas psul, it's completely disqualified. Misuch seches, where it has only from one side, la yishchet bar lechatchila, don't use it. From shachat, shchitas ksheira, but the evidence it's okay. Again, the machlokes rishonim, how far we take this rule. Do we say that this rule is only applicable if you were careful not to shecht with the area where there's a nick? Or, even if you shechted with the area where there's a nick, but since it's only one, not two, we could be more lenient. Oil of the yard, besak and shachar b'alachatchila. What does oil of the yard mean? Oil of the yard means that you have a knife. It's a sharp knife. But usually, this is called glatt. When the shechtim call a glatt knife. A glatt knife means that the knife is completely straight. Here the knife doesn't have any nicks, but it's not a straight knife. It's like a curved knife. And that the Gemara is saying you could use. You taught us in the name of Rava, the Mesuchseches is Psula, the Mesuchseches Kshera. So we have a Bikasha. We have contradictory halachas. Answers the Gemara. Akash, as we explained before. Even when we use a mesuchseches, we could only use a mesuchseches when you only go in one direction, we said. So if you're the hailich v'hevi, even a mesuchseches will be possible. Can't you hailich v'lai hevi, so you're only hitting the nick once? That's why we could be more lenient. Omo, Rav Achab Reid, Rav Avila, Rav Ashi, Damila sasomai, what will be the halacha if the knife looks like a beard, or like a head of a stalk? What does that mean? The knife is perfectly straight, no nicks, but it isn't extremely sharp. That's how most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Well, bira locha, amle manyav meisri vechlinen. That knife is kosher. We're very makbid to have a sharp knife, but the Gemara is teaching us, as long as there are no pegimus, the knife is kosher. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that we have to check the knife? Shinema, because the pasuk says, v'shechatem b'zeh, the Torah talks about, the Navi talks about by Shaul, where he lost his animals, and then he found it, and he made a feast. And he says, v'shechatem b'zeh, v'chaltem. B'zeh means first check the knife, and then you could eat it. Right. It's menanach. Says the Gemara, what's the question? Pshita, the kinakef, it's obvious if it has a hole, treifa, by b'dikil chacham. So what's the question that you have to check it? Answer the Gemara, by b'dikil chacham kaminan. The question here is not that you have to check the knife. Of course you have to check the knife. How do you know that you have to check the knife by showing it to the Rav? And that answers the Gemara because we see it from Shmuel, from Shaul. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say it's Minara Torah? From Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan teach us, Lo Amr Lahar Sok and L'Chochem,
the entire reason we have to show the knife to the Talmud Chacham, Elav Nekvoidish Shel Chacham. So why are we saying it's Midaraisa? Answers the Gemara, you're right. The entire reason to show a knife to Chacham is only Midrabanan. The Kra, the fact that the Torah teaches us a Pasik, is only a Smach the Ba'alma. A number of things to say. So the Rishonim say, why were Chazal so concerned that the knife has to be shown to Talmud Chacham? Two reasons the Rishonim give. One is because the Gemara says, Kavod HaTorah. The other reason is that we know that let's say somebody has a Shaila, and you live in a neighborhood where there's a Rav, so you're obligated to ask the Rav a Shaila. Checking if the knife is a good knife is a Shaila in Halacha. And it's the job of the Rav to pass on that Shaila. So Mefarshim continued to ask, if checking a knife is such an important rule, why don't we make a bracha on checking the knife? So I saw three answers. One answer is, the bracha that we make on the shechita is also on the knife. Another answer, a very practical answer is, what happens if you check the knife and then you decide not to shecht? So there's no reason to check the knife. And the third answer is that we never make a bracha on a mitzvah until we come to the final step of the mitzvah. Checking the knife is not the final step. The final step is the actual shechita. That's why you don't make a bracha on the bedikas. Then the Mefarshim also ask, so why don't we check the knife after the shechita? If there's such, we need to make sure that the knife was kosher. So check it after the shechita. Why do you have to check it before? So there are many answers. The first answer is a very simple answer. We're concerned you're going to forget. The second answer is, Baltashchus. What happens if you check the knife after the shechita and it turns out that the knife wasn't good? So the animal or the chicken that you slaughtered will be in the veil. You could have avoided that by shechting before. Another reason, similar, we just said that on shechita you make a bracha. You make a bracha ala shechita. And if it turns out that the animal you slaughtered was not kosher, it's a bracha levatala. Now, if you couldn't have avoided it, if somebody shechts with a good knife and then the animal turns out to be a treifa, an avela, it wasn't in my control. But if I could have checked the knife before and I didn't, that's a question of a bracha levatala. Another answer is human nature. You know, once, especially in the time Chazal, where they didn't have as many animals slaughtered like they have nowadays. In the time of Chazal, so you're slaughtering an animal, and now the animal turns out to be treif. And that animal goes to waste. And it's hard for people to throw it away. So if it's not avoidable, it's not avoidable. But here the person is going to look for every reason to say the animal's kosher. And you could have avoided all your problems if you just would have checked your knife before you shecht it. Another pshat that I saw is that a person before the shechita, to check a knife, you have to have proper yishuv hadas. You have to do it with a lot of concentration. Before the shechita, you have that type of concentration. After the shechita, where you have the dead animal in front of you that you want to eat, you don't have that proper concentration, and therefore you're supposed to check before, not after, which is, of course, al minig. Furthermore, we're learning from the word v'shechatatem bezeh, so the mefarshim say that the gematria bezeh is either 12, bezeh, bezeh is 12, or 14. From here, the minig is that the knife that's used to kill an animal should either be 12 or 14 at spas log. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara continues talking about how they did the bedikas. But Marava bat galei b'shimsha. In Marava, they used to check the knife in the sun. Two pshatim. Either they put it up to the sun and they sort of had any nicks, or they put it against the water and they looked at the reflection if the reflection was smooth. B'nadar bat galei b'maya. Here twice saw two pshatim. One is that they checked it by checking it over the reflection of water. Or another pshat is that they let a drop of water go down the edge of the knife. And if it got stuck, that means there's a nick there. Rav Sheshes badak lebereish lishnei. Rav Sheshes would check it with his tongue. Chassidish Sfarim say, b'shimsha, we're talking about the shaychet. The way they check the shaychet was b'shimsha. Shimsha means shemen tztaka. If the person is a generous person, b'maya, maya represents mikvah. If he's a person who's tahor, and Bereish Lishnei, we look at the way he talks. That's how you're supposed to check who should be yishaychet. Rav Achba Yak Badle B'chut Asara on a hair. The surah Amri Bisra Achla Bisra Labatka. The right way to do it is over flesh. Amar Papa Tzricha B'dika Abisra V'Tufra. The right way to check it is on meat and on the flesh of a person and on his fingernail. And Tosfos explains why. He says because we're supposed to cut the two simonim. The kana is like flesh. The veshit is cartilage. So you're supposed to cut them these two ways because those are the two simonim. Some of them have the veshit is like disra and the tufra, the nail, is like the kana. Amla Ravina Larvashi. Amla Rafam Reder Mishash Mishimcha. Amla Mishmei the Rava. Tzricha Bis Dika. The way to check the knife is a bisra, as on one's flesh, vatufra, on his fingernail, vatosaruchasa, on all three sides. What is all three sides? The two sides of the knife and the edge. Amle, so he said, indeed, a bisra tufra amli, I did indeed say it should be checked on your flesh and on your fingernail, vatosaruchasa loy amri. But I didn't say it has to be checked on the three sides of the knife. Ikadamri, Amri. I did indeed say this. However, Amri. I never said it in the name of Ravina. I never said it in the name of Rava. Says the Gemara. Ravina Ravach Breder Rava Haviyasa Kameh Ravashi. Aisu Sakan Kameh. They brought him a knife. Aisu Sakan Kameh Ravashi Levatka. Amlei Ravach Breder Rava Bitka. He gave him the honor of checking the knife. Says the Gemara. Bitka Aturfer Vavisra. He checked it on his flesh. He checked it on his fingernail. He checked it on his flesh. Vatlosa ruchasa on the three sides of the knife. Amalei. So he said to him, Yasha, you did the right thing. The kenam Rav Kahana. That's what Rav Kahana said. You have to check it on the fingernail and on the flesh. Atlosa ruchasa like tzricha. But you don't have to check the sides. Why? Because we learned earlier on Daf Ches. We learned that if somebody made the knife hot and then he shechts with it, the loch is kshita kshera. The shechita is still considered a kosher shechita. Why? Because we learned shechiduda kam kaidim labuna. Because why are we not concerned that the hot knife is burning the simonim rather than cutting the simonim? Because say the sharpness comes before the heat. The kashlan, and when we learned that gemara, the gemara immediately asked, he could start them, but the sides of the knife touch the simonim, and the sides are hot as well. The gemara answered, "Barminan, beis hashchita marvich ravich, the beis hashchita keeps on spreading apart, so it never touches the sides of the knife. Hachanami, beis hashchita marvich ravich, and therefore you don't have to check the sides, you only have to check the sharpness. A few halachas. One halach is, that you have to be careful to make sure that the knife is completely clean before you check it. Another halacha is you have to make sure that it's not too cold or too hot when you check the knife. Because if it's too cold or too hot, you don't have the proper feeling in your fingernails. And the third point that the achrayim make is that our Gemara keeps on saying that you're supposed to check the knife both with your flesh and with your fingernail. It's interesting, the tshuva from the Klos Magareba, that you have to be careful to use your real fingernail. You can't put on a plastic fingernail and check with that. But the question is, we know the minig by shaychtim nowadays is they just check with their fingernail. Most places can say it doesn't make a difference which nail or which finger. But they only use the fingernail, and Al-Gamar keeps on saying that everybody agrees that you're supposed to check on the flesh as well. So why are we not makbet to check on the flesh like the Gemara keeps on teaching us? So the Achrayim answer that when is there a din that you have to check on the flesh? Because they weren't so careful that they said, and we'll discuss this more tomorrow, Shir, that just because you have a begima doesn't mean the knife is possible, only if it has some depth. So therefore, to make sure that it doesn't have too much depth, the only way to make sure is if you check it both on your fingernail and your flesh. But our shaychtim are makbid that if it has even the smallest begima, we don't use the knife. So as soon as you feel that begim on the fingernail, as minimal as it is, you're not going to use that knife. That's why our minig is checking on the
fingernail, and that's all we do.